here I am. I'm over here. I'm over here in the corner drinking my cup of coffee. Good morning and welcome to the Panic Podcast for Monday. Hope you all had a great, great week, and we're going to get started in just a second. Yeah, we are. I had to finish my coffee. I actually have a little thermos that my wife bought me. I don't know. She has these issues with Amazon, actually. It's kind of a running joke in our house. She'll order things, and they're always smaller than they appear in the picture. So she ordered me this really, really cool tartan thermos. I mean, it's very cool, and I mean, it fooled me too. I looked at the picture when she ordered it, and it looks like a normal full-size thermos, you know? And when it came, I mean, it's small. It's basically a cup and a half of coffee that you can put in there. That's all. It's kind of small. But bless her heart, she tries. Hey, it's good to have you with us. Hope you all had, really good church services yesterday. It's a beautiful day in Wise County. This morning it's 42 degrees on the way in, but it's going to warm up today, and by midweek we should be up in the mid-70s, so that'll be nice. Today we're going to wrap up our short series on basic Christian beliefs looking at communion. And as a matter of fact, we had communion yesterday. Yesterday was the first Sunday of the month, and the first Sunday of the month we always have communion. A lot of Protestant churches do that. They'll have communion the first Sunday of the month. But other churches, you know, they'll have communion every week, like every Sunday. And there are some churches I've heard that have communion once a quarter. Yeah. But regardless of how often a church celebrates communion, it's one of the most sacred and central practices in the church. And listen, as fragmented and as fractured as the American church is, like, this is the one thing every denomination can get behind. The absolute importance of the communion services. I mean, it's one of the central practices of the Christian faith. The communion, or the Lord's Supper, or the Holy Eucharist. It goes up by different names. It's not just a ritual or a tradition that's been passed down through the ages. It is a divine ordinance that was instituted by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It is, in fact, a profound mystery that connects us to the very core of the gospel. In a world filled with all kinds of distractions and superficial pursuits, communion calls us back to the very essentials of our faith, the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and the forgiveness of sins, and the promise of eternal life. Now, we've been talking about the importance of communion for a couple of weeks, because this service is important, and you're learning things that you need to know, that you can pass on to your kids. So you need to pay attention, and you need to don't phase out at any moment during this podcast, because it's important. Communion is a powerful reminder of God's love, which was poured out for us. And as we partake of the bread and the cup, we are actually being invited into a deeper communion with Christ, and, as a matter of fact, with each other. Paul reminds us of this, 1 Corinthians 10, verses 16 to 17. Listen to what he writes. Is not the cup, now he's talking about the communion service here, is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, that's like one loaf of bread, we who are many are one body, for we all share the one loaf. So while communion is individual, I mean, it's between you and God. And that's why when you come to the communion table, as we've talked about, I think it was last week, you got to make sure your heart is right. So it's definitely between you and God, but it's also communal, uniting us as the body of Christ. We're doing something that churches are doing all around the world. And the churches have done for over 2,000 years. You know, from the earliest days of the church, like the day of its birth, communion was practiced. Acts 2:42. They devoted the converts, the new Christians in Jerusalem, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Okay, they're not talking about having lunch there. They're talking about the communion service. So from the very beginning of the church's existence, the breaking of bread in communion was the cornerstone of Christian life. But that's not why communion is so significant. So let's take a look at what the scriptures have to say. The first thing I would say is that communion is a divine command. That's right. So let's go right to the source. The night before Jesus' crucifixion, during the Last Supper. Now, this was no ordinary dinner. Okay, it's what was called the Passover feast. And even though it was called a feast, it was a very, very simple meal. But Jesus transformed this Passover feast into something with eternal significance. Now, the Gospels give us a harmonious account of this event, so I'll just quote from one of them. Listen to this. It's Matthew 26 to 29. Then Jesus took a cup, and when he had given thanks, said grace basically, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the many for the forgiveness of sins. Now I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom." The Apostle Paul, now, he wasn't there that night. He was getting ready to persecute Christians. That's right. He wasn't at the Last Supper. But he was writing something to the Corinthian church, and he told them that the Lord had revealed to him directly what happened that night at the Last Supper. Now, we don't know if it was through a dream or a vision, but here's what Paul wrote, and this is the passage that I usually read during our communion service. It's 1 Corinthians 11:23-26. Paul says, "For I received from the Lord," in other words, the Lord showed me this. "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and said, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Now, I think both those passages that I just read, the one from Matthew and 1 Corinthians, underscore the importance of Holy Communion as a direct command from Jesus. He said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Okay, the emphasis is on the "do this." Like, you must do this in remembrance of me. So this isn't an optional activity that we're involved in here. Like, it's not something we tack on at the end of a service once a month. It is a perpetual ordinance for the church of all ages to observe. And by participating in the communion service, we remember Christ's sacrifice, his broken body, and his blood that was shed for us. And we are proclaiming, that's what Paul wrote to the Corinthians, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. That's kind of a weird way to put it. We're basically remembering, or we're anticipating the second coming. You know, we're looking forward to the Lord's coming, and we will celebrate communion until he comes back. So without this service of communion, I think we risk forgetting the cost of our salvation and drifting into complacency. Like I think a lot of us forget automatically, you know, because our salvation was free to us. It didn't cost us anything. We didn't earn it, you know. I mean, it was free, but it cost God, I mean, like everything, his one and only son. But through communion, we're continually drawn back to the historical reality of what happened on Mount Calvary, where Jesus bore our sins in his body to his cross. Now, to fully appreciate communion and how brilliant it is, we have to see its roots in the Old Testament. Did you know that we see communion in the Old Testament? Oh, yes, we do. Especially in the original Passover. Now, the story is found in the book of Exodus. That's the second book of the Old Testament. Book of Exodus in chapter 12, the first 14 verses. Now, this is a large group of verses, and I'm going to read them because a lot of you don't know what happened in the Exodus. So listen carefully. Are you ready? It says Exodus 12, 1 to 14. And then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, from now on, this month will be the first and most important of the entire year. Annually, on the 10th day of this month. Now announce this to all the people of Israel. Each family shall get a lamb, or if a family is small, let it share the lamb with another small family in the neighborhood. Whether to share in this way depends on the size of the families. And this animal shall be a year old male, either a sheep or a goat, without any defects. On the evening of the 14th day of this month, all these lambs shall be killed. Now listen to this. And their blood shall be placed on the two side frames of the door of every home and on the panel above the door. Use the blood of the lamb eaten in that home. Everyone shall eat roast lamb that night with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. The meat must not be eaten raw or boiled, but roasted, including the head, legs, heart, and liver. Don't eat any of it the next day. If it's not all eaten that night, you must burn what is left. Eat it with your traveling clothes on, prepared for a long journey, wearing your walking shoes and carrying your walking sticks in your hands. Eat it hurriedly. This observance shall be called the Lord's Passover, for I will pass through the land of Egypt tonight and kill the oldest sons and firstborn males in all the land of Egypt and execute judgment upon all the gods of Egypt, for I am Yahweh. The blood you've placed on the doorposts will be proof that you obeyed me. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and I will not destroy your firstborn children when I smite the land of Egypt. And you shall celebrate this event each year. This is a permanent law to remind you of this fatal night. Exodus 12, 1 to 14 from the Living Bible. Now, the Passover lamb's blood spared Israel from death that night, but it was also foreshadowing Jesus, the Lamb of God. So in communion, the bread recalls the unleavened bread the Israelites prepared in a hurry, and the cup of the communion, or the cup of the blood of the covenant, recalls the blood of the lamb. So our Lord Jesus fulfills the Passover as his blood protects us from eternal death. Hebrews 9:22 says, according to the law, almost everything is purified by blood, and sins are forgiven only if blood is poured out. And it's good to be reminded of this fact, that forgiveness comes only through the shed blood of Jesus. Like wonderfully linking the Old and the New Testaments in an amazing story of redemption. Now, one of the deepest aspects of communion is its role as what I might call spiritual nourishment. This was something that Jesus taught. It's found in John 6:51 to 58. Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If you eat this bread, you will live forever. The bread I will give you is my flesh, which I give so that the world may live. Now, he's not talking about cannibalism here, all right? He's talking about giving his body. I mean, basically giving of his body, his life, so that the world may live. Continuing, this startled, and an angry argument came up among them. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? See, they didn't understand. Jesus said to them, I'm telling you the truth. If you do not eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will not have life in yourselves. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them to life on the last day. For my flesh is the real food, and my blood is the real drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood live in me, and I in them. The living Father sent me, and because of him I live also. In the same way, whoever eats me will live because of me. This then is the bread that came down from heaven. It's not like the bread that your ancestors ate, talking about manna, but then later died. Those who eat this bread will live forever. Now, naturally, what he said here shocked those who heard him, because it sounds kind of weird, right? So it really does sound like cannibalism, but his words reveal a profound spiritual truth. Of course, you don't eat Jesus physically. The Roman Catholic Church teaches that the communion elements, the bread and the wine, become the literal body and blood of Christ. That's never anything that the Bible teaches. Although communion is more than symbolism, you know, the bread and the wine or the bread and the juice do indeed represent the body and blood of Christ. But it is also, and listen to me very carefully, the communion service, participating in it with the right attitude, it becomes a means of grace where we draw strength from and draw closer to our Lord. By our participation in the service, we show that we abide in him. And in doing so, we receive sustenance for our souls. You know, in a starving world, chasing after fleeting pleasures, communion offers true, lasting satisfaction. The bread of life that quenches eternal hunger. And it assures us of our resurrection and eternal life as we unite with Christ's death and rising again. And avoiding the service of Holy Communion, listen, it literally starves your soul. But embracing it revives us, drawing us into an ever-deepening fellowship with our God. Now, Holy Communion is also, it's a practice. It's something that we do together in church. And done properly, it fosters unity among the members of the church. 1 Corinthians, again, 11, verse 26, the cup we use in the Lord's Supper, and for which we give thanks to God. When we drink from it, we're sharing in the blood of Christ. Notice Paul writes, we are sharing in the blood of Christ. And the bread we break, notice we break. When we eat it, we are sharing in the body of Christ, because there is one loaf of bread, all of us, though many, are one body. For we all share the same loaf. In the communion service, all the walls that exist outside the church are demolished. All the distinctions that exist outside the church are erased. Race, class, status, none of those things exist in the body of Christ. And we're all equal at the Lord's table. But at the same time, the Bible warns us, strongly warns us against unworthy participation, which we've already addressed in this series. So just a reminder, we all need to make sure that we approach the Lord's table with our hearts prepared, right? That we do that all week long in how we live, but we approach the Lord's table with reverence, understanding that not one of us is worthy to take communion. I mean, that's what the communion service basically teaches us. None of us is worthy to take communion if that worthiness is determined by our own merit. We're able to freely participate based solely on the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. At its core, communion seals the new covenant. Our Lord's blood, shed for our forgiveness, fulfills the old requirement of the old covenant. And our Lord Jesus, by his establishing a new covenant, sealed in his blood, ended the old covenant forever, making a new way for the new and better covenant that you and I live under. The Lord's Supper. We're going to wrap this up. The Lord's Supper is absolutely indispensable. It is a remembrance service. It is nourishment for our souls. It helps to make us one in Christ. It keeps our Lord's second coming foremost in our minds. And it reminds us of the wonderful new covenant established by the Lord Jesus. You know, like the early church in Acts 2:42, let's devote ourselves to the breaking of bread. Let's come to his table, made worthy by Christ, receiving God's grace, and living transformed lives. You know, my prayer for every communion service is that the communion today will truly make a difference in our lives by deepening our faith until, as Jesus said, we drink it anew in the kingdom. The communion service really is an ingenious service that was established by the Lord Jesus. Okay, that's it for today. Thank you, everybody, so much for listening to the Panic Podcast. We will be back, Lord willing, on Wednesday. God bless you. We'll see you then.